baby, we're back. It's week two. How we all feel it, man? It's good to be back here, and welcome back to That's right, it's Baseball and Beats, episode two, ironing out the kinks here. We're about a week deep into the season, and oh baby, do we got a lot to talk about. Yes, sir, it looks like we upped the production quality a little bit, but that's not too shabby. You know, anything for my valued fans. Thanks for tuning in, by the way, on SoundCloud. I might have jumped the gun there a bit with Spotify, with the Apple Music, but you know what? If you're tuning in on SoundCloud, you know I appreciate you. Thanks for listening in. Let's try to get you a good show out here. Let's start off the day with a little bit of Jays chat. Jays fans, how are we feeling? I know I got some mixed emotions so far this season. This season's been a roller coaster to start with, and we're only a week in. Let's dive in a little bit here. Let's start with the positives, because I feel like there's a lot of good coming out of this roster early on. Starting out with the young guns. I still am in awe of the one and only Vladimir Guerrero Jr. This kid is the real deal. He's batting a .348 going into Friday. He's already got two home runs on the year, which are both moonshots, by the way. No doubters off the bat, if I do say so myself. Posting with an astonishing 1.135 OPS. That's off the charts. And I know it's early on, don't get me wrong. But Vladdy's just looks so much more consistent at the plate. He's showing discipline. He's laying off these high fastballs. He's laying off pitches out of the zone. And the ones he's swinging at, oh baby, there's pitches. They're the ones he needs to hit. And yep, I'm liking it. Defensively, he's been holding his own over at first. I know it has been the smoothest transition. Yeah, he's had a couple uncomfortable plays, let's say. I might have got ahead of myself seeing him and Simeon that first game. It was electric, don't get me wrong, but he's got to keep that electricity, and I think he brings that to a position that not a lot of people are going to bring a lot of energy to. I'm still a big fan of it. I think it's just going to take a couple weeks to get used to. Aside from that, no complaints with Vladdy. Another one of the young guns that's really started to pick up after a slow start has been Bo Bichette. That two home run game in Texas really lifted his spirits, and fuck, he was lifting the ball out like no tomorrow. It's a shame he had to deal with whatever you want to call Tanner Roark's start, because holy smokes, that was ugly. No amount of run support was making up for that, but he's finding the approach that works for him, Bo is. He's turning into that everyday shortstop that the Jays need, and queuing himself out for a bit of a breakout year here. Like what I'm seeing from Bo. Keep moving around to the left side. We got Biggio over at third, and oh, he's slowly getting acclimated. I know they call it the hot corner for a reason, because he's had a couple that ate him up, but aside from that, he's been solid. I don't worry about Biggio over there as much as I'd worry about Vladdy. When I saw Vladdy playing at third, I was always a bit antsy. It's like watching Rafi Devers over at third, too. Similar young player, but just not there yet, defensively. But making progress, and like I said, Biggio might be the answer over at third, because he's solid. I know he's a utility guy at heart, but if he finds a home at third, I am not going to be upset about it. And he's even bringing a bit of power. He's got, what, two home runs now? I mean, yeah, he's still been nothing special at the plate. The guy's hitting well below 200. He's got to get some consistency if he wants to stay a vital part of this lineup. But I like what he's doing. I think he's got a lot of potential. So, I mean, as for the kids are doing good. I got no complaints about all these pieces that the Jays have been building up for years and putting all their eggs in this 2021 basket. But I like it. I think they're doing well, and they're putting something together in that infield. Ryu. Now this man is an ace through and through. He's pitched two gems so far. Gave up two against the Yanks, yeah. Gave up that home run to Sanchez. The home run's been the only knock I can really have against him. Gave up the home run to Sanchez against the Yanks, and then he comes out and he gives up the home run to Texas. But man, he just hasn't had the run support beside him. Jay scored two runs in their first game against the Yanks, lost that 3-2. Then is the second start. Jays only score one run. He gives up two, gets saddled with the loss. Jays score an extra run here or there, and he's 2-0 to start the year, and people are looking at him much differently. Because Ryu, he's locked in. He's locked and loaded, and he is an ace for this club. If you got a nitpick, you got to get away from some of those mistakes. And yeah, just if he can avoid the home run, Ryu's going to be a bona fide threat in the AL East. But hey, that's baseball. Look at Jacob DeGrom. Guy's pitched how many gems for the Mets and only got a few wins? And people still look at him like he's one of the best in the game, because he is. Run support ain't changing that. Guy's still a pitching monster. Speaking of monsters, they're out of the Jays' bullpen. Julian Merriweather. What a story. This guy has stepped up in the save role. He's got two high leverage saves. He's yet to be burned. He's blown 7 strikeouts past these hitters. He's touched 100 on the gun. His changeup drops off about 20 miles an hour, so hitters can't touch that. It's moving around, it's dancing. The guy looks like he's got a curveball, but fuck, it's a changeup. Mayweather is a dream come true for the Jays team, whose closer went down in the spring. And he's filled the gaps seamlessly. Seamlessly, and it's early on. And this is a guy who was a throw-in in the Donaldson deal. You gotta love that. And speaking of filling in gaps in this lineup, look at Randall Grichuk, man. And coming into the season, people were saying he's not even going to be having a roster spot. This guy's going to be riding the bench all year, but then he comes out. And after having a pretty solid 2020, by 2020 standards, that's for sure, guy's been batting .333 going into Friday. He's got 8 RBIs, or 5 RBIs, excuse me. Randall's proven that he doesn't just belong on the bench for this team, and I think he deserves a fair shake even when George Springer comes back. Even if you just look at this guy defensively, in center field in Thursday's context, which was that 12-inning bender against the Angels, Randall made 2 diving plays, one with 2 outs in the 9th to save the game from, well, being blown open right there. Randall's an anchor for that outfield, and even when George comes back, he's going to be fighting with other guys here to try to find a spot, and that's a shame because I think he honestly deserves a spot in this lineup. But man, you really miss Springer in this series. Jays wanted him back against the Angels. And the Angels, they ain't no joke anymore. It's not just Mike Trout and company. It's Mike Trout and, oh yeah, all these guys that are also going to produce. And a pitching staff that's actually competent and can give him some help so he doesn't have to try to mash in 5-6 runs a game. Springer could be the X factor for this offense, but without him right now, the Jays, they've been having a little bit of struggles lately. I mentioned it before, but Tanner Roark. Man, I don't know if this guy should be in the big leagues. He stunk up the building on his start. Guy couldn't locate. When he did locate, it just turned out to be a meatball down the plate. Gave up 3 home runs to the Rangers, all of them were hit over 109 miles an hour off the bat. Just to put that in a little bit of context, the average MLB hit velocity is 89 miles an hour. These guys are smoking whatever the hell Roark was throwing, and despite, even like I said before, Bo Bichette, 2 home runs in that game, that should be enough to lift an offense, but not with Tanner Roark on the mound, man. This guy's got to go. You need Nate Pearson back, and Robbie Ray, too. Both are big, big pieces to this rotation once they get back and get healthy. And right now the Jays are paying for it a little bit. TJ Zoik, however, he's been a pleasant surprise. He's a name I really didn't hear too much about going into this season. But no earned runs over 4 innings. He stepped up, he produced. And no complaints so far. This is a solid starter who they've gotten. All while flying under the radar, too. All in all, I don't think there's too much to worry about over in Jays land. There's still work to be done, especially tightening up the screws around the mound, but starting pitching was a spot that we all looked at before the season, and we were scratching our heads a little bit, thinking, well, this might work, maybe. You're gonna need Ryu to step up, he stepped up. You're gonna need Mats to step up, and Mats has looked like the 2018 version of himself so far. Now, it's a little early to say that, don't get me wrong. But he's looked electric. I think Pete Walker has worked wonders for this kid, honestly. And this is what the Jays were banking on, him returning back to form. And Ross Stripling, too. You know what? He's doing what he can. He doesn't have the stuff to blow by hitters or even keep the ball on the ground consistently, but he's deceptive on the mound. He's experienced. He's got championship experience from the Dodgers. Someone to keep an eye on, too, who's been a pleasant surprise, honestly. But this team dynamic, it's all going to change once these injury problems start to subside. Got a lot of short-term injuries, 10-day IL. In a couple weeks, I feel like this team's going to be in a much different headspace and a much different spot in the AL East, because right now, sitting in about fourth, it's still early, but there's work to do. There is work to do. Moving on for the Jays a little bit. Oh, it's one of my favorite segments of the day. It's time for the Boston Bias.
What the fuck happened to the clicker, you fucking cocksucker?
Oh, yes, sir. My Red Sox. I'm not going to lie. The Sox were scaring me a little bit early on. That was the first time we got swept at Fenway since 1948. Holy fuck. And it was against the Orioles, nonetheless. Orioles.MLB.com, they predicted that they would have a 0.0% chance of making the playoffs, I'm pretty sure. And they just swept the Red Sox in three games pretty easily. Only giving up five runs to the Red Sox. And yeah, things were not looking good. But you can't count out the fucking Red Sox, man. We're not going down without a fight. We go up against the reigning AL champs, the Rays, and oh, baby, the Sox deliver in a big way. We outscore the Rays 26-9. That's when the bats started to wake up. Only scored five runs in the whole three-game series against Baltimore. Scored more than that in two, was that all the games against the Rays? Scored more than five runs. And I think a huge catalyst in turning this around has been the veteran bats in the Sox. Really getting back to form, especially a man by the name of JD Martinez. And oh my god, there's not a hotter hitter on the planet than JD right now. Man's got nine extra base hits. He's hitting in the 400s. Man is a machine. Not only him, Christian Vasquez. And especially in the MLB, today's modern MLB, not a lot of catchers are giving you that offensive production, but Christian Vasquez, holy, this guy's lighting it up. He came up with a late game moonshot to help propel us over the Rays. And he's come up with a couple big hits like this. I just feel like he's another guy who didn't expect that huge offense, and he's coming up huge for this club, honestly. Kind of pushed them over the top. Another name that's really been sticking out for me in the Red Sox run here, Tanner Houck. Yeah, he's a new pitcher on the staff. He's slated to be a starter. At least he was slated to help the starting staff after Sale and Erod went down. But he's been very promising. He's got an electric fastball. This thing's almost touching the top end of the 90s. But the slider. I had to take a double take and think this isn't just Chris Sale, but with the reverse side. Pitching from the right. Tanner Houck is unbelievable. He's just got to work on his control, get a bit more reined in, but holy shit. Love what I'm seeing out of Houck so far. And once Erod and Sales comes back, you throw this guy in the pen. He came out of the pen one of these games. I think it was against the Rays. Showed his stuff. I think he's got something there. Cora might have found a gem in Tanner Houck. And some more good news for the Sox. We get to see Eduardo Rodriguez back on the bump on Thursday. This is the first time we've seen him since, well, in the regular season at least. Since he had that heart complication in 2020 that really set him back. And then he had to deal with a bit of dead arm at the beginning of this year. And don't get me wrong, he wasn't amazing, but he got the job done. Gave up three runs with about 7 Ks. No walks. He's still going to need a few games to get comfortable. But it's nice to see that the offense helped him out. Something that the Red Sox offense really needed. But it ain't been perfect, like I said. I mean, what? We had those three games, got swept. There's still guys that need to get going. Guys that got to pick up the slack. Like, Kike Hernandez is a name that I didn't expect to be saying in this category. I was very excited about his potential going into the year. But he hasn't been great in the leadoff spot. If I'm going to compare him to, well, let's say Semien on the Jays, who's been leading off over there, it's night and day. Semien's consistent, and he's got the power to back it up, but Hernandez just seems to be rolling over every single ball that comes to him. Grounds out to the infield consistently. That's a shame, because I really think he's got something there. I'd like to see Cora maybe slot him down the lineup a bit, build up that confidence. because you need your leadoff guy to have some consistency. And Kike's been struggling that since the Dodger days. Work to do. Kinks to be ironed out. That's the name of the fucking show. Another bright spot, we got Nathan Eovaldi. He touched 100 on the gun. A couple times, actually, in his last start against the Rays. He's been electric since the outset. Especially in his last start. You know what? I'm a big fan of Eovaldi's. I have been ever since he came up. And one run over 5 1/3. Just seeing that fastball astonishes me. Nate Eovaldi. Nasty Nate for a reason. Red Sox back up in action on Saturday against the O's in a bit of a redemption series up at Camden Yards. This is the ballpark, you know, the Sox. They got a bit of statistical history here being able to mash the ball up at Camden. Now, granted, that's might have something to do with the Orioles' record over the last few years, but still. Thursday also marked the first time the Sox gave up a home run this season. They were the last... I gotta read this again. They were the last team in the majors to do so. The Red Sox, that got swept by the Orioles in the first series, were the last team to give up a home run ball. Oh my god. But that is a bright spot. And the Sox have won four straight since the first time since August 18th, 2019. And yeah, we'll forget about 2020, shall we? I know JD has. I know the rest of us have. Fuck COVID. And, you know, speaking of being forgetful, are you all caught up on the storylines for this week in the AL East? I hope not, because it's time for... That's right, it's who's hot, who's not. This is a bit of baseball Tinder here. We're going to take a look around the AL East, see who's smacking the ball, see who's painting the corners, and, most importantly, see who's racking up the whiffs early on in the season. We're going to start at the bottom of the division, work our way up, and we're going to pick one standout and one, how are we going to say it? Someone who hasn't really picked up the pace so far. From each team, give you a little bit of look at how the AL East is shaping up early on. Starting at the bottom with the reigning champs, the Tampa Bay Rays. They got roughed up in three straight by my Red Sox there, no complaints, but that didn't slow down Tyler Glass now. Now this kid is something special. He's got a .75 ERA. He's got 15 Ks in two outings after adding that slider, and he's using it a ton. He's confident on the mound, and here, just listen to this clip.
And a 2-2 to Vasquez. And 9.
I'm not sure if you can hear him, but that's Glass now just shouting, "Fuck yeah!" We're after getting that strike three call before coming out of the game. So much energy coming off the mound after closing out the inning. You love to see that stuff. Even against my Red Sox, fuck, I don't mind. I love energy in the game. Sitting at 2-4, though, someone's got to be slowing down this team, and my pick for that is Kevin Kiermaier. Name I didn't expect to be saying, but he's only a 1-11 on the year. He's got 4 Ks. Rays would like to have the 2-time Gold Glover out there on the field, but slow start in Tampa. You're gonna have to look somewhere else for outfield help, and that's kind of tough. Kind of tough for the Rays. It is what it is, though. Moving on up, we got the Toronto Blue Jays sitting in 4th right now. After starting off pretty hot against the Yankees, the boys in blue, they're getting a little blue, getting a little cold, but that's okay, because you know what? Even with the strong pitching performance, my pick is going to be closer Rafael Dolis, who has had an ugly start to the season, as this week's not for the Jays. It's a reoccurring theme right now. Dolis, he coughs up runs in the clutch. Montoyo keeps putting them in. I don't know why. That's been a little questionable too. We'll get there. So, but he's sitting at about an 8.1 ERA. He's given up 4 walks. He needs to find control and quick if he wants to stay out there in the lineup. And as a part of the late game strategy for the Jays too, because that's a big piece right there. Honorable mention for a knot on the Jays goes out to Tanner Roark, who just looked fucking awful in his outing. I stand by my prediction that he's going to belong in the minors at some point this year, because no amount of offense is going to make up for this guy. Holy smokes. On the brighter side of things, Vladdy Guerrero Jr.'s looked fantastic early on. He's my pick for the hot player on the Jays. Plate awareness, controlled swings, but the power, man. The power hasn't gone away. He might be controlling it, but he can still mash. Working out some of the growing pains at first, but he's looking a bit more comfortable playing on the right side. He's batting .348. Got 3 extra baggers, walking 4 times. It's no doubt Vladdy's the early standout on the Jays. Oh, it's my least favorite part, but we're going to talk about the Yankees here. Yanks are slowly but surely returning back to that solid form that everyone was predicting this club to have in 2021. They got a plus 10 run differential early on. That's the best in the AL East. This guy, Aaron Judge, he's to thank for that. He's batting 364. He's got about 8 hits, 2 bombs. Might as well have 2 bombs. Guy's 6'7". Fuck, he might as well hit something. But the big man in right field, he's lived up to expectation. He's delivering once again. Gotta hand it to him. On the other hand, 3-3 Yankees, they haven't been drama-free. My pick for the Nat, and I enjoy this one, is Domingo Germain. He got roughed up in his first start against the Jays, and he begins by posting a 9 ERA in 3 short innings of work. Now, Germain, this might be found a little bit harsh, but he's hated amongst his own clubhouse following a domestic violence incident that stopped him from playing last season. So, you know, excuse me for being critical of the guy, but he's kind of a piece of garbage. That's why he's on the Yankees. Moving on up, we're going to the Boston Red Sox, sitting in second in the AL. He's not too shabby. After missteps out of the gate and the bats went cold in the 3-game sweep by the Orioles, the Sox found their footing and won 4 straight. Now the offense woken up much thanks to JD Martinez, my hot pick for the player of the week. Quite possibly the hottest hitter on the planet right now. He's hitting .433. He's got a 6-0 and .867 slugging with 9 extra base hits early on. Seeing the ball well, pitcher's got nowhere to hide anymore. And this is a bounce back from an awful 2020 season. It's nice to see a video back in the dugout for JD helping him out, but a couple honorable mentions go out to Tanner Houck, whose slider is jaw-dropping, and the Moon Man, Christian Vasquez, who's also been on fire early on. A couple great picks from the Sox. And it kills me to say it, but I might have jumped the gun on this one here. Last week, I was pretty high on Bobby Dalbec coming into the season. And old Bob, has not looked good. Seems to be swinging for the fences in every single AB. I mean, the guy led spring training in home runs, so I get it. And he's a young player, so of course he wants the bomb in front of fans for the first time in God knows how long. But his long swing, it's hurting him. He's got 2 hits and 18 ABs. He's added 7 strikeouts on there. Bobby, he's got some work to do to hold on to a starting spot in the lineup, because sitting right behind him, there's Chavis is waiting. He didn't even make the team, and I think he's going to be more consistent than this guy. And Marwin Gonzalez, he can play first too. So there's a couple people out there that might be hunting for his job. Old Bob's got to pick it up. And somehow, the top of the AL East, the Baltimore Orioles. How the fuck? I can't believe this one. MLB.com gave them a 0.0% chance of making the playoffs, and they're leading the division. What the hell? They're a young team, though. They got plenty of potential. And you might ask how. One answer, center fielder Cedric Mullins. He's been absolutely smacking the ball early on. Fielder's hitting .448 in the first week. He's got 13 hits in 7 games. Mullins might be the answer for the O's depleted outfield, you know what? Honorable mention goes out to John Means. Yeah, he means business. Oh, that was bad. But he's got a .77 ERA, and he made the Sox look silly. 9 Ks, 2 walks, electric stuff early on. Finally, a bona fide ace for this staff. But still, it's the Orioles. Pieces, you know, they're still developing, and one that hasn't fully panned out yet, top prospect Freddie Galvis. Only 3 hits in the first 26 AVs. Galvis, he's still making a great talent, but he's sluggish out of the gates. He's got 10 Ks early on, only drawing 2 walks. Needs some more plate discipline if he wants to hold on to that spot, but the O's are invested in him. I don't see him giving up too quick. Look for Galvis to bounce back pretty soon. Quick pause. Quick breath. What a weird week in the AL East. Hope you're caught up, because it's time to make you some money. Cue that shit up, Jamie. That's right, it's time for the Money Minute. Yes, sir, we're going to make you some money. We're going to put a minute up on the clock here. I got a list of about 10 possible bets and breakout performers of the week. I'll give you the gist. We'll try to make you some money at some of that sweet, sweet cash. Oh, yeah. Let's get a minute up on the clock here. Be ready to go? And let's hit it. So the safe bet of the day, I got the Dodgers at a -390 to win the series against the COVID-struck Nationals. I don't see them putting up too much of a fight. Bet the Dodgers, baby. Jacob DeGrom, he's pitching against the young Marlins Saturday. Take the over 8.5 strikeouts. DeGrom's going to eat. Saturday, Garrett Richards takes the hill for the Sox, and he has not looked good in the spring in the first start. Zimmerman, on the other hand, he's been sharp. Pick the O's in this one. That's a possible underdog. Saturday, you got Steven Matz. He's retaking the hill against his dominant start last week. I think he eats up the Angels here, too, and proves he deserves to be higher in the rotation. Take the Jays in this one. And while you're at it, why don't you take the under for runs against Matz? Halfway home, we're going to shift to player projections. Keep an eye on for Ryan Mountcastle off the Orioles. Despite the high strikeouts, I think he's going to go on a tear. keep the Orioles offense afloat a little bit. Off to the Jays here. Keep an eye on Ryan Borucki out of the pen. He's looked pretty solid despite being pulled from Thursday's game. Very dependable. May make a run at the setup closer role with Kirby Yates out of the picture. For the Sox, my pick of the week is going to come from Raffy Devers. He's got a slow start to the year, but Raphael, he seems to be figuring it out. He shortened the swing up, but he's still getting the power across from it. Look for him to be a possible breakout player for the Sox this week. Last two picks from the gun from the Sunday games, it's safe to say Tanner Roark is not good. And up against his former club, look for the Angels to dominate against the Jays on Sunday. And my final flower of the day, I say the Stro Show comes up big time in his Sunday start. Take the under for runs against Stroman against the Marlins. And that was your Money Minute. Another breath. That was tough. We got through. I think you might make some money on some of these. You know what? We're going to check back next week to see how I fared. You know what? We're going to keep track every single week. Make sure these bets pan out for y'all, because I don't want to be leading you down the wrong path. And maybe if I am, then at least we'll know. As I'm out of breath, I also have to say that I think we're about out of time here for episode 2 of Baseball and Beats. Thank you so much for coming along the ride here. Be sure to check me out on Instagram, Twitter at kcrabe35, or check out the YouTube channel if you want to hear today's song of the day on the drum covers. That's Toxicity by System of a Down. Be sure to check it out YouTube at Baseball and Beats, or just give it a search. You'll probably find it. Jays are going to finish off a 4-game set against the Angels here on Saturday and Sunday, and the Red Sox, they're back in action against the Orioles Sunday and a Saturday game as well. I don't know why I said that one backwards, but we'll take it. Thanks again for stopping by on SoundCloud for Kyle Crabe and for the production team. Let's get her going. Have a good night. I'll see y'all next week.